Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Well, don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
From the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening with you. Going to be with you until the final out of this Braves game. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. We know you're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. You can use your smartphone, your Alexa speakers, your tablet, your turntable, your Light Bright, your Walkman. Whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show is to follow us on our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else out there. We've got our young producer, Garrett, who obviously we used to work together on the college football show last year. Obviously, we've done multiple shows together, but haven't seen Garrett in a while. Like, it's been several months since I've seen Garrett.
At least since August, right?
Yeah.
Since the college football season started.
Well, no, probably longer than that. Probably longer than that.
I can look in my folder and see the exact last date.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, go do that. So he is at GChapATL.
And, August 13th.
August 13th?
August 13th.
Wow. Oh, was that Sunday? Was that a Sunday show?
Maybe.
You know, I think that was that Sunday where Freaky was on vacation. And
yeah,
Connie,
that was a Sunday show.
Yeah, Mike Connie had asked me to.
Mike
Connie. He had asked me to fill in for Freaky Deaky, and I forgot
we had a good time, man.
Yeah, we were together on that Sunday. So, so it hasn't been
it's
very
a steel
much.
Trap you got there, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, even with a stroke, I mean, again, my brain functions in and out sometimes. Like there'll be, like I'll leave my phone in the bathroom and not remember where it is, and then I can remember something from 1978, you know, in a Red Sox Yankees game or whatever. I mean, so that's how it works for me. So anyway, a lot to get into with you here. So we'll probably be here for probably a little bit less than 2 hours. We'll take you up to the final out of the Braves game, and then Rob Tribble, Grant McCulley, I'll sit in with the guys for a while, and we'll chop up what's going on in this game. And so far, I mean, it's not good. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. I mean, it's 7-1 right now, and it's been the Bryce Harper show, right? He's got two homers in the game. Look, I know it's going to be a lot of second-guessing. You know, should Smith-Sharver have started? You know, this, that, and the other. I understand. You know, should Elder have pitched to Harper? I get all that. That's postseason baseball, right? I mean, if all of these things work themselves out, you look like a genius. When they don't work out, you look like a stutz. You know, I mean, a strutz, I should say. You look like that. So, I mean, look, it's postseason baseball. You know, everybody will second guess all the different decisions that are going on. Bottom line is the Braves got to string together several hits. I mean, they got to get this offense cranked up and going. You know, they got it cranked up late in game two. You know, obviously big come from behind. Riley with the big home run. You know, look, they've got to get, you know, some hits together. Look, you're not going to just mash your way through most of these series, right? You're going to have to string together some hits and put some guys on base and use some of that speed at the top of the order and the very bottom of the order, you know, to put pressure on the defense of the Philadelphia Phillies and, you know, try to get some things going. And, you know, they were able to do some things the other night in game number two. But, you know, so far, I mean, it's been, you know, a little bit rough. So Braves are now on to their fourth pitcher in this game. So we are currently, we're in the bottom of the fifth right now. And it's 7-1. And, again, Harper's got two hits, two runs, four RBI, and a couple of home runs. And he's got the throat slash. I don't know if that's really appropriate in today's world. Just, and I understand, look, the emotion and this, that, and the other, and obviously he's doing big things, and this crowd is pumped up, but maybe not the time in the world to be doing stuff like that. But again, I know the emotion and all that kind of stuff, you know, has gotten to him. So Castellanos also has a home run in this game. So we'll keep you up to date. And again, after the third out of the of this game being over, we'll switch it over to Grant McCulley and Rob Tribble and myself. We'll kind of hang out with you for a while. And, look, we'll take your calls and, you know, we'll get your thoughts and your instant reactions to everything. We've got D. Orlando Ledbetter coming up at 7:40 this evening. So we'll talk about, you know, the upcoming game against the Commanders, who have been just a mess the last few weeks. I mean, Sam Howell is throwing picks at record paces. He's getting – do you know, Garrett, let me ask you a question. Do you know what pace Sam Howell is on to get sacked this season?
What is it?
99 is the – he's been sacked 29 times so far this year. 29 times he's been sacked.
We made a big deal over Matt Ryan getting hit 40 – or sacked 45 times a couple years ago?
Yeah. He's been
That's
sacked
incredible.
29 times in what, five games? That's absurd.
So is this Arnold Ebiketie's breakout game?
It needs to be somebody's breakout game. I mean, what are we at now? Oh, we're at five sacks. Oh, boy. Anyway.
All right,
we'll talk to D-Led about all of that. Look, obviously, you know, had a lot of fun on Twitter with Desmond Ritter and all the things going on last week. Look, last Sunday, Desmond Ritter played terrific. 329 yards. What was he, 70-something percent? Completion percentage, 74, 75, whatever the number was. Counted for a couple of touchdowns. I mean, he was terrific. Almost, I think it was 9 yards per attempt. That's a stout number. That's a really big number when you throw, you know, a whole bunch of passes and your average yardage is 9 yards an attempt. I mean, most guys, if you're 7, that's a good number. You know, he was around 9. So, again, he was fantastic. And, again, it's the idea of having a young guy at quarterback. There's going to be highs. There's going to be lows. What you're hoping for is you find some consistency at the quarterback position, and obviously this team, you know, can find a way to get it done. We'll talk about this coming up here in the next segment, but, again, the Commanders are a mess, and their quarterback is just getting beat up and beat up. So we'll talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter coming up at 7:40. And we'll kind of preview what's going on with the Commanders and Falcons. We'll talk some college football with Pete Futek. I mean, look, say what you will about Georgia. They look like Georgia on Saturday. They look – I flipped that game over very quickly. Like, that game was no doubt after, middle of the second quarter? That was a no-doubter. I flipped over to Fastlane to watch the WWE pay-per-view. So, again, at that point, I mean, and we had, the Braves were on Saturday as well in the early part of that game. So that was more of a focus for my viewing with the Braves because Georgia definitely looked like Georgia. And how much of a bonehead is Mario Cristobal? He's done this a few times as far as just his in-game management decisions. You know, a couple few years ago when he was coaching Oregon, I don't remember the specific play, but he just went brain dead against Stanford and they ended up losing that game. And he's done those kinds of things. And look, Tech was the beneficiary of it, right? And for as bad as things were the week before against Bowling Green, they felt like it was that big of a deal because, again, when you're looking at some of those 50-50 games, obviously you should have beaten Bowling Green, but you make up for it against Miami, and now you got to figure out a way to get some wins, you know? I mean, if you're going to get to a bowl game, you got to figure it out. I mean, just, you know, you're taking it one game at a time, but, you know, obviously, you know, you're going to have to probably upset somebody else if you're going to get to a bowl game. So Tech with a nice performance, but, now it's on to Vandy for the University of Georgia. That'll be a laugher. Vandy is just dreadful. That's just a dreadful team. But they certainly looked like the University of Georgia, and they certainly looked like the number one team in the nation on Saturday. Hey, Hawks won their season opener, right? They figured out a way to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? We had the game on last night. So when's the next game for the Hawks? Is it tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow against Memphis. Again, they're working through rotations. I know Dukes and Bell had Sadiq Bey on earlier today. And look, I mean, again, I don't know that we'll know a whole lot and figure some things out here. But believe it or not, Hawks basketball is right around the corner, right? I mean, it's hard to believe that slog of an NBA season. I'll say it. It's a complete slog to have to get through the NBA season. There's no sports league that feels like it's as long as what the NBA season is. I still say that they should cut down the NBA season to 66 games, but that's never going to happen. The owners are never going to give up, 20 games, 16 games, whatever. That's never going to happen. Again, there's too much revenue, too much money that's involved. I still believe in Steve Kuhn's theory. I would start the NBA at Christmas time and let the season go from there and not. And again, if you got to play some back-to-backs or this, that, and the other, hey, listen, that's life in the NBA, right? And you have to figure it out. So, but the Hawks do win their season opener. It is what it is at this point. So we'll continue to follow it through the preseason, and then obviously the season will be starting up here pretty quickly. Just keep you up to date about the Braves right now. So Braves are hitting here in the top of the sixth inning, 7-1. Right now for the Braves. So looking to just try to get this thing back on track, just try to string together a few hits and try to figure out a way to, just scratch and claw your way back into this thing. Look, you're not going to make up a 6-run deficit on one swing, but you got to start stringing some hits together, right? And that's been the frustrating part about this offense there's Marcell Ozuna, again, just string together a few hits, get a few guys on, put some pressure on their starting pitching. Again, I think they left maybe Zach Wheeler in just a little long the other night in that game. Maybe they do the same thing with Aaron Nola. I mean, they were quick to pull Ranger Suarez in game one, but they went, I think, with Wheeler just a little bit too long.
Yeah, one of the other things, you get to this bullpen, then you could put some stress on it ahead of tomorrow's game, and maybe you can make some magic happen then. I mean, like, look, string together some hits, put some stress on them, make this not a simple game.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're going to have to get into their bullpen, and you're going to have to string together some hits at some point, right? I mean, that's just where we're at in all of this. And look, game one to game two set themselves up because, again, you could use that Phillies bullpen, their deep bullpen, and you had a day off in between, which, again, you wouldn't think that was going to happen, but with the way you know, the American League was going to play on Tuesday, I guess it was, and the National League was going to get back cranked up on Wednesday. So kind of worked out for Philadelphia after Game 1, and they were able to use as many of their guys in their bullpen. But we'll keep you up to date all night long about what's going on with the Braves. And again, we'll be here until the final out, and then Grant McCulley, Rob Chulam, and myself will hang out here until whenever. We'll take calls until whenever. So no matter what happens, we'll be here for you. All right, when we get back, it's never easy, but this one shouldn't be too difficult either. We'll talk about the Falcons coming up next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
.com app.
Children. Back to more John Chuckery.
He's in the zone.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuckery show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios. Wednesday night with you. 7-1 Braves down right now as we are in the top of the sixth inning. And Aaron Nola is officially out of the game. So pretty good night for Aaron Nola. 5 2/3, 6 hits, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts with a walk, 92 pitches to 64 with 64 strikes. You know, one thing that's been frustrating has been in this series that the Braves have struck out, I think it's 29 times now, you know, whereas this was a team that was better, you know, as far as striking out goes. You know, that some of these guys had better numbers, you know, lower numbers of striking out. But, again, when you can get outs with no contact, I mean, again, you change up, you know, the game, and that's been a big part of what this series has been. They just, Braves can't get any offense going and not really string together a whole lot. So we'll keep you up to date. And obviously, as soon as this game ends, Rob Tribble, Grant McCauley, myself, we'll take you post-game, and we'll get your reaction. We'll get your phone calls and get your thoughts and stuff. And let's see if the Braves can find a way to come back here late in this game as they did the other night. But coming up on Sunday, and we'll talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter at 7:40, it's Falcons and Commanders. And look, nothing is ever easy in the NFL, right? But if there was what feels like a potential get right, get good, and do some things that maybe haven't happened over the course of this season, this might be the game. And I say that because right now, if you look, you know, all of the goodwill that the Commanders had built up over the last couple of weeks, or sorry, the first 2 weeks of the season, the last three games have been abysmal. They've given up in the last 3 weeks 37, 34, and 40 points. They gave up 40, a 40-burger to Justin Fields and the Bears last Thursday. They made Justin Fields look like a good quarterback. How tough is that to do? Oh, sorry. You know, by the way, Desmond Ridder only has one less win than Justin Fields does for his career, but I digress. Oh, sorry. We don't want to bring up any bad memories or anything. But look, this has been a team that has been putrid defensively. They are averaging giving up 32 points per game. 32 points per game. Believe it or not, that's 31st in the NFL. Now, offensively, they've been okay. They score 21.8 points a game. That's middle of the pack in the NFL. That's about what? Not quite. I don't think it's quite 2 points better than what the Falcons average. But, you know, again, this has been a team that we talked about this in the beginning segment. Sam Howell has been sacked 29 times. 29 times. He's got 6 touchdowns with 6 interceptions. He's got a 13.2% sack percentage rate. That means that 13.2... Look, if you get to 9, 10 is really bad. That was Marcus Mariota, 10. If you get to 9, 10, that's really bad. He's at 13.2% of his dropbacks end up in sacks. So if there was a week where you feel like the Falcons offense could get uncorked or unleashed or whatever terminology that you want, and at the same time, this defensive front can get after a quarterback and put somebody on the ground, this really feels like the week for it. Now, we'll see what happens, but obviously nothing is ever as easy as what we think it's going to be. You know, Sam Howell has been a sack machine, taking 29 sacks, but we only have 5 on the season. Look, their defensive front is still really good. You know, they get after quarterbacks. So, again, while we haven't gotten after the quarterback, they're still doing some good things. Montez Sweat has 4.5 sacks. Jonathan Allen has 3 sacks. Chase Young has 3 sacks. They've accumulated 16 sacks in the first 5 games for the season. Problem is, they've given up 29. So, if there was ever a week where you feel like this offense can make some hay because they give up a whole bunch of points and you can get after their quarterback, maybe this is a game where we get right this week. And I fully anticipate that the Falcons are going to win this thing on Sunday. But there are some things that have to be cleaned up still. You know, there are some things that you want to see the Falcons do better. Obviously, we want to see Desmond Ridder build off of last week. He played arguably his best game in his career last week at a time when a lot of people were jumping off the ship as fast as they could with Desmond Ridder. He came out and played his best game of his entire career. Now, again, it's only 9 starts worth, but still, in perspective, it was his best start of his career. Now you need to build on that. Now you need to build on that against a defense that you feel like you can score against. And this has got to be a team that when you get down to the red zone, You've got to put touchdowns up. Again, you can't have a defense that gives up 32 points a game and we're being held to field goals or whatever. This is a team that gives up a whole bunch of points and they have all season long. Again, they just gave up 40 to the Bears offense last week. Now, I'm not saying we need to score 40, but this should be a game where our offense feels like it gets on track. And again, when you have a quarterback that has done nothing but either throwing picks or he's on his back, this is where, you know, Garrett and I were kind of joking. Is Arnold Ebiketie a guy who's going to break out? I hope so. I hope Arnold Ebiketie, Bud Dupree, Grady, Onyemata, I hope all of these guys can put him on the ground. There's no reason that they can't. You don't take that many sacks and you have a 13.2% sack rate that you shouldn't be able to get after the quarterback. And you're at home, you know, and obviously, look, he's been beat up. Now, he does complete a high percentage, you know, of his passes, all things considered, for all the abuse and everything that he's taken. You know, he has, completed 68.6% of his passes. That's a pretty good number. For a guy who's been sacked 29 times, that's a pretty good number. He's thrown for 1,349 yards with six touchdowns and six interceptions on the year. So if there was ever a week where it felt like the Falcons should be able to make hay, and this has to be a game where we dominated the line of scrimmage, there should be no reason why. I don't care how good their defensive line is and all this, that, and the other. They've got a lot of playmakers, right? And we've seen these guys over the last couple few years, right? And remember, what was it, 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago, Garrett, when Taylor Heinicke, took it to us? Was it 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
That was last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah, I went to the game with girlfriend's dad, and he had his Redskins shirt on. I guess it's the old Redskins or whatever. But yeah, we went to the game.
That feels like a lifetime ago. That game feels like a lifetime ago when Taylor Heinicke was throwing it all over the yard against us. So again, look, you have to dominate the line, and it's the same mantra every week. I mean, nothing changes about this. You got to dominate at the line of scrimmage. But if there was ever a week where you've got a team that we should be able to get after their quarterback, and obviously, and again, look, I thought the offensive line last week played really well. Didn't give up any sacks to Desmond Ridder, who, by the way, had taken a whole bunch of sacks in his first four games, and they didn't give up a sack. And even, what's the guy's name? Norton or whatever the kid is that filled in for Caleb McGarry. What is that guy's name? Storm Norton? Storm Norton, I believe, is the guy who filled in for Caleb McGarry. He played pretty well. All things considered, he played pretty well. And Desmond Ridder wasn't sacked. And Desmond Ridder was able to, you know, throw for 329 yards and account for a couple of touchdowns, and they didn't turn the football over. I expect Ridder to build off of that performance from last week, and no reason why. Now, the Falcons did add themselves a wide receiver, so we've got another pass catcher. So if we don't have enough of those, have another pass catcher. So, again, more weapons for Desmond Ridder, as if we don't have enough guys who can catch the football. Don't we have a whole bunch of guys who can catch the football? Pitts and London and Jonnu Smith and Michael Pruitt and...
Don't forget Scotty Miller.
Bijan and Scotty Miller and Algier and Cordarrelle Patterson. Don't we have a whole bunch of guys who can catch pass already? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we'll talk more about that. If we have time for the Falcons flyover at 8:20, we'll try to get into all of that. But look, I mean, this is a really good opportunity for the Falcons to get themselves a couple of games over 500. I thought last week was a well-played game. And again, even after allowing Houston to score that touchdown and take the lead late, you felt like, okay, this is, you know, and I joked on Twitter, Ridder ice. Like, there was a lot of time left on the clock. The Falcons had multiples of timeouts, and they only needed a field goal. So I thought Desmond Ridder had command of the offense and got him down there. And, of course, Younghoe Koo puts it through the uprights, and, you know, hasta lasagna, don't get any on you, and Falcons find a way to win. And, look, the Falcons are taking advantage of the way that their schedule has been set up, right? Bryce Young making his first career start. Jordan Love only in his third career start. Last week was C.J. Stroud making his, fifth career start. So, you know, obviously The schedule's played itself out, but this is a game that you feel like you can get right in some areas that we want to see. This should be, I don't want to say an offensive explosion, but this should be not a struggle to score points because everybody has scored on the Washington Commanders defense over these last few weeks. This should be a game where you can score plenty of points. And if you can't get to the quarterback and sack Sam Howell after the dreadful start it's been, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know what you can do. I mean, again, this should be a three-sack game for the Falcons. Garrett, here we go. I'm going to predict four sacks for the Falcons on Sunday. I'm going to go ahead and go hot take. Here's what I'm saying. 30 points and four sacks for the Falcons on Sunday. Falcons score 30 points offensively, and they get four sacks on Sam Howell. You can book that. You can what did you say it was gonna? What did you say you were gonna do with it? Zip it, clip it, dip it, whatever thing or whatever the thingamajig that you do. Save it for later, like you do our picks, you know, in college football when we used to do those. So just clip it. 30 points and four sacks for the Falcons coming up this weekend. So, but again, that means that Sam Howell will throw for like 350 yards or what have you. You know, again, nothing's ever easy for the Atlanta Falcons. We need an easy week this week. Like, we need a week where we just cruise through Sunday, no drama, no fault at all, just cruise right through against a team that, honestly, they've been bad the last 3 weeks. You know, that was a good game in overtime against Philadelphia. They still gave up 34, but they got humiliated by Buffalo, and then the Bears just ran all over them. I mean, like I said, DJ Moore, I think, had 220 yards in that game. Oh boy, yeah. Now, there's another home run. Who was that? Was that Trey Turner? Oh yeah. So Trey Turner getting in the mix. So. Now it's 8-2 right now. So, yeah, we'll keep you up to date all night long. And, again, coming up after the final out of the game, Rob Tribble, Grant McCulley, myself, we'll get you through some post-game action and take your phone calls and, you know, again, anyway. All right, the Orlando Ledbetter when we come back. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 97 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Back to more John Chuckery.
No, I'm having a good time. Having a good time.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Back at a Chuckery show. Hanging out in the Kia Studios Wednesday night with you. Not so good at the ballpark in Philadelphia. Braves now down 8-2 after the Trey Turner home run. They had picked up a run, the Braves did, and Trey Turner last inning, he hits a solo home run. So now 8-2. Again, we'll take you up to the final out. And then Rob Tribble, Grant McCulley, myself, we'll get you some post-game action. We'll take your phone calls at 404-726-0929. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. Well, Falcons and Commanders coming up on Sunday. Hopefully better results for the Falcons at home than what's happening up in Philadelphia tonight. Let's head up to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter. He is the beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution covering the Atlanta Falcons. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work, and you can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at D. Orlando AJC. D. Led, my friend, always appreciate a few minutes on the show. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Sure, no problem, John. Thanks for having me on the show this evening.
So, you know, I was just talking about this in the last segment, D. Led. This is a team that gives up 32 points a game in the Commanders. They give up 32 points a game. They've put up had a lot of teams that have scored big numbers the last 3 weeks against them. They've given up 29 sacks. Their quarterback's been sacked 29 times this year. D-Led, if there was ever a week where you felt like, okay, can we get some sacks and can our offense really break out? I don't know. Nothing's ever easy, but this could possibly be the week that both of those things happen for the Falcons.
Yeah, it could be, John, if they could manage to block the Washington front. That's the only problem that gives me a little bit of pause. Can you block Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen? you know, Montez Sweat from Stevenson High, and Chase Young. So, you know, Chase Young hasn't been who everybody thought he was going to be, but, you know, the Falcons, you know, haven't really, you know, protected in some games. So, but, yeah, if you could block those guys, you should be able to move the ball. And defensively, you should be able to get after Sam Howell, who likes to hold on to the ball, and that's part of the reason why he's got 29 sacks over there.
A couple of things I want to go over with you, D-Led, that I've looked at here over the last couple of weeks. So right now the Falcons are 28th in the NFL in average starting field position. How much of that is special teams? I mean, I don't believe it's all special teams with the loss of Avery Williams and punt coverage and obviously Cordarrelle Patterson just getting back into returning kicks, but that's a number that has been, you know, a real problem for the Falcons this year, asking a young quarterback to have to average over 75 yards for touchdown drives.
Yeah, and I've been following that, and I think it directly falls from the fact that they've had so many three and outs and had to punt it. Bradley's been punting it out there, but, you know, you lose a lot of field position that way. So, you know, they're starting at their 40, they get to the 30 or 40, and then they pin you back. Also, a couple times it's been because of penalties. You know, they'll get a good return and then had a holding penalty on Tay Davis last week. So, special teams penalties, offense's inability to sustain drive are reasons why they have the poor drive start.
So, obviously, last weekend, I mean, you know, it's arguably Desmond Ridder's best game as a pro in the 9-game sample size that we have of Desmond Ridder. But, you know, how important is it? I mean, look, not just for the team success, but obviously his, you know, for his personal success. Like, you have to build on a game like this, right? I mean, you can't kind of regress back to the norm. I mean, if you're going to be a franchise quarterback at some point, these feel like these moments where you have to build off of this momentum and sustain it, not just go back to what, you know, he was looking like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's one of my that's the story I'm working on here is, hey, how do y'all keep this going? What elements do y'all retain from this game to be able to do it again? You know, once you see it one time, you want to say, well, okay, well, they threw for 300. You know, some things went their way. They loaded the box and stopped the run. So, yeah, you got a lot of one-on-ones out there, and he was able to hit them. So, can you do that again? Because people are going – when they play the Falcons, they're going to line up to stop the run. And so when they do that, you know, Ridder hadn't been able to make them pay, at least not in Detroit, not in London. But against the Houston Texans, he did make them pay, even throwing the ball up the field to the fullback. So that was pretty creative. So, yeah, can you do it again? That's all it is now. Hey, we've seen it before. Was that an outlier or was that the real deal? We'll get to see here some of that on Sunday, and then certainly next week down in Tampa Bay, and then the next week in Nashville.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WaitFor.com hotline. What have you thought about the play balance so far? 157 pass attempts for Desmond Ridder, 149 rushes. I know teams are loading up, obviously, the box, but is that number about where you thought? Or, again, you know, should this team even – again, I use the Bill Parcells line. He always – when he would look at the stat sheet, D-Led, he didn't care about what your rushing yards were, your yards per attempt. He wanted to see how many attempts – that you had. And it feels like that we're starting to skew more toward we're becoming more of a passing team than even a running team.
No, that's going to probably be a losing deal long term. So I thought he did a good job of staying with the run, even though he wasn't getting anything out of it. Some of them pitches could have went for a little bit. He did get in the I formation on third and one and power the ball at him. So, you know, that was a good thing. But, yeah, despite their low average, I thought, you know, Bijan had 14. I think Algier had double-digit carries, too. He's got to get Cordarrelle Patterson back in the mix. That's the missing link here. That's probably 5 or 7 more carries that you can count in the run game. But, yeah, I think you want to you know, get as close to 50-50 as you can.
So talk to me about Kyle Pitts' season. I mean, look, I there's been a lot of chatter about, you know, what this is, and they're not targeting him enough or this, that, and the other. He's got 32 targets, but only 18 catches. And I don't know, again, I can't tell you all of his, you know, numbers, but 46.9% catch percentage right now. How much of that is on Desmond Ridder? How much of that is on play calling? How much of that is on Kyle Pitts himself?
He's clearly got limitations, John. You can look at all, it's out there. All of the routes that he's running right now are curling inside routes. So, you know, everybody kind of knows he's coming. They don't have him planting on that right leg and cutting to the left. So he's limited physically in what they can do with him. So, you know, everything's, you know, a bender inside a circle. He doesn't plant, he doesn't cut. You know, so there are some physical limitations. But, you know, ever since Matt Ryan left, he's had some horrible catch percentage numbers. And the fact that he never played with Desmond, that's on both of them. You know, they have to get connected on the routes he's going to run, even the limited ones he's going to run. So, yeah, that's a work in progress. You know, that's the reason why I think they should have been playing in the exhibition season and not sitting around watching. But now they're working out the kinks in their relationship during the regular season game.
So now the Falcons add Van Johnson to the mix. And does this allow Kyle Pitts to play a little bit more inside? I mean, they've used him outside at times. I mean, obviously, Jonnu Smith has been a really nice addition, you know, to this offense. But what can Jefferson do? What can he do, and how does that change maybe Kyle Pitts' role at all?
Yeah, I don't think it affects him at all. I think it affects Matt Collins a little bit, you know, and Scotty Miller. Those are their number two and three, or arguably four, two and four receivers. Scotty's brought here, supposed to be a speed guy. They haven't been able to get it to him. They gave it to him behind the line of scrimmage a couple times. But if Jefferson can get back to, you know, where he was running the 4-3-9s, he could take over that Alameda Zacchaeus role on those deep crossers and so forth. And Hollins is more just a blocking wide receiver, the best I could tell. I could throw him a couple possession routes. But, you know, Jefferson will be a guy when you want to go 11 personnel and put three wide receivers out there, you can do it. They haven't been doing too much 11, but now they have the option once they can get him up to speed.
Would you like to see them with Patterson back in the mix now? Patterson, Bijan, obviously Algier. Would you like to see them throw to the running backs a little bit more than even what they do?
No, I think they overdid that early on, and people started jumping them checkdowns. So maybe it's a little bit more up the field like what they did with Keith. But, yeah, no, people know that's what we were hearing. They're like, hey, they just won the quick game, so we're going to sit on the flats on these running backs because we know he's going to check it down. Look, the first three, four games where he wouldn't throw the ball down the field at all. So I don't think you can overdo that right now. I think that was overdone early. Maybe you can get back to it later. More screens, more diversification of the screens. I know the Packers I covered back in the 90s, they had 33 different screens. It was to Edgar Bennett, most of them. So, that was before Brett Favre knew how to read defenses. So, yeah, you can definitely load them up on the screen game and get the ball moving that way and then punch it down the field.
So let me ask you about the front seven with this team. You know, again, I see these stats and, you know, D-Led, if you follow me at all on Twitter and ever read one of my tweets, I mean, I'm a big sack guy. Again, I'll give you all the numbers in the world about teams that are really good, you know, defensively or are advancing way into the playoffs can always sack the quarterback. That's the one thing that teams can do. It's been five sacks in five games. What do you think about the play? And I know that they're top 10 in pressures and all this, but you got to get home. And this is a week where you got to get home at some point. What do you think the play has been from the front seven so far with this team?
Yeah, that's I'm with you, John. I've been digging down into my advanced defensive stats this week to get I got 11 of the I still got 21 more teams to go through to get all their knockdown and sacks together. But the Falcons are at 51, and over 50 is really good if you count the knockdowns and pressures. I started doing that when Coach Smith used to tell us, Coach Mike Smith, oh, sacks are overrated. We want to get him off the spot. So I'm like, okay, I'm not buying that, but that's how, if you insist, we'll look at the hurries and the knockdowns too. So that's good, and the good thing is Grady Jarrett and David Oyelamada or the Beast. They got like eight knockdowns and a sack and a, you know, some hurries. But up the middle is where they're getting the pressure. So the outside guys should be doing something. I'm kind of disappointed there, but Katie, haven't seen him show up at all. I've seen Bud Dupree flash. I don't know what they're doing with Lorenzo Carter, but there's nothing coming off the edge in the pass rush. They got a blitz. They blitzed 53 times, and I got to go back and double-check those numbers because they changed a little bit today. But and Caden Ellis has been sent 18 times, and he's only got one sack. So him and Richie Grant are coming on the blitzes. They're their blitzing guys. They were blitzing Troy Anderson a lot. He wasn't getting there. So if you're sending people, they got to get there. And, you know, the outside guys haven't been doing too
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Chuckery.
No, I'm having a good time. Having a good time.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Wednesday night with you. Not so good at the ballpark in Philadelphia. Braves now down 8-2 after the Trey Turner home run. They had picked up a run, the Braves did, and Trey Turner last inning, he hits a solo home run, so now 8-2. Again, we'll take you up to the final out, and then Rob Tribble, Grant McCulley, myself, will get you some post-game action. We'll take your phone calls at 404-726-0929. That's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. Well, Falcons and Commanders coming up on Sunday. Hopefully better results for the Falcons at home than what's happening up in Philadelphia tonight. Let's head up to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter. He is the beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution covering the Atlanta Falcons. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work, and you can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at D. Orlando AJC. D. Led, my friend, always appreciate a few minutes on the show. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Sure, no problem, John. Thanks for having me on the show this evening.
So, you know, I was just talking about this in the last segment, D. Led. This is a team that gives up 32 points a game in the Commanders. They give up 32 points a game. They've put up had a lot of teams that have scored big numbers the last 3 weeks against them. They've given up 29 sacks. Their quarterback's been sacked 29 times this year. D-Led, if there was ever a week where you felt like, okay, can we get some sacks and can our offense really break out? I don't know. Nothing's ever easy, but this could possibly be the week that both of those things happen for the Falcons.
Yeah, it could be, John, if they could manage to block the Washington front. That's the only problem that gives me a little bit of pause. Can you block De'Ron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat from Stevenson High, and Chase Young. So, you know, Chase Young hasn't been who everybody thought he's going to be, but, you know, the Falcons haven't really, protected in some games. So, but, yeah, if you could block those guys, you should be able to move the ball. And defensively, you should be able to get after Sam Howell, who likes to hold on to the ball. And that's part of the reason why he's got 29 sacks over there.
A couple of things I want to go over with you, D-Led, that I've looked at here over the last couple of weeks. So, right now, the Falcons are 28th in the NFL in average starting field position. How much of that is special teams? I mean, I don't believe it's all special teams with the loss of Avery Williams and punt coverage and obviously Cordarrelle Patterson just getting back into returning kicks. But that's a number that has been, you know, a real problem for the Falcons this year, asking a young quarterback to have to average over 75 yards for touchdown drives.
Yeah, I've been following that, and I think it directly falls from the fact that they've had so many three and outs and had to punt it. Bradley's been punting it out there, but, you know, you lose a lot of field position that way. So, you know, they're starting at their 40, they get to the 30 or 40, and then they pin you back. Also, a couple times it's been because of penalties. They'll get a good return and then had a holding penalty on Tay Davis last week. So special teams penalties, offense's inability to sustain drive are reasons why they have the poor drive start.
So obviously last weekend, I mean, you know, it's arguably Desmond Ridder's best game as a pro in the 9-game sample size that we have of Desmond Ridder. But, you know, how important is it? I mean, look, not just for the team success, but obviously his, you know, for his personal success. Like, you have to build on a game like this, right? I mean, you can't kind of regress back to the norm. I mean, if you're going to be a franchise quarterback at some point, these feel like these moments where you have to build off of this momentum and sustain it, not just go back to what, you know, he was looking like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That's one of my that's the story I'm working on here is, hey, how do y'all keep this going? What elements do y'all retain from this game to be able to do it again? You know, once you see it one time, you want to say, well, okay, well, they threw for 300. Some things went their way. They loaded the box and stopped the run. So, yeah, you got a lot of one-on-ones out there, and he was able to hit them. So can you do that again? Because people are going – when they play the Falcons, they're going to line up to stop the run. And so when they do that, you know, Ridder hadn't been able to make them pay, at least not in Detroit, not in London. But against the Houston Texans, he did make them pay, even throwing the ball up the field to the fullback. So that was pretty creative. So, yeah, can you do it again? That's all it is now. Hey, we've seen it before. Was that an outlier or was that the real deal? We'll get to see here some of that on Sunday and then certainly next week down in Tampa Bay and then the next week in Nashville.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. What have you thought about the play balance so far? 157 pass attempts for Desmond Ridder, 149 rushes. I know teams are loading up, obviously, the box, but is that number about where you thought? Or, again, you know, should this team even, again, I use the Bill Parcells line. He always, when he would look at the stat sheet, D-Led, he didn't care about what your rushing yards were, your yards per attempt. He wanted to see how many attempts that you had. And it feels like that we're starting to skew more toward, we're becoming more of a passing team than even a running team.
No, that's going to probably be a losing deal long term. So I thought he did a good job of staying with the run, even though he wasn't getting anything out of it. Some of them pitches could have went for a little bit. He did get in the I formation on third and one and power the ball at him. So, you know, that was a good thing. But, yeah, despite their low average, I thought, you know, Bijan had 14. I think Algier had double-digit carries, too. He's got to get Cordarrelle Patterson back in the mix. That's the missing link here. That's probably five or seven more carries that you can count in the run game. But, yeah, I think you want to, you know, get as close to 50-50 as you can.
So, talk to me about Kyle Pitts' season. I mean, look, I there's been a lot of chatter about, you know, what this is, and they're not targeting him enough or this, that, and the other. He's got 32 targets, but only 18 catches. And I don't know, again, I can't tell you all of his, you know, numbers, but 46.9% catch percentage right now. How much of that is on Desmond Ridder? How much of that is on play calling? How much of that is on Kyle Pitts himself?
He's clearly got limitations, John. You can look at all, it's out there. All of the routes that he's running right now are curling inside routes. So, you know, everybody kind of knows he's coming. They don't have him planting on that right leg and cutting to the left. So he's limited physically in what they can do with him. So, you know, everything's, you know, a bender inside a circle. He doesn't plant, he doesn't cut. You know, so there are some physical limitations. But, you know, ever since Matt Ryan left, he's had some horrible catch percentage numbers. And the fact that he never played with Desmond, that's on both of them. You know, they have to get connected on the routes he's going to run, even the limited ones he's going to run. So, yeah, that's a work in progress. You know, that's the reason why I think they should have been playing in the exhibition season and not sitting around watching. But now they're working out the kinks in their relationship during the regular season game.
So now the Falcons add Van Johnson to the mix. And does this allow Kyle Pitts to play a little bit more inside? I mean, they've used him outside at times. I mean, obviously, Jonnu Smith has been a really nice addition, you know, to this offense. But what can Jefferson do? What can he do, and how does that change maybe Kyle Pitts' role at all?
Yeah, I don't think it affects him at all. I think it affects Matt Collins a little bit, you know, and Scotty Miller. Those are their number two and three, or arguably four, two and four receivers. Scotty's brought here, supposed to be a speed guy. They haven't been able to get it to him. They gave it to him behind the line of scrimmage a couple times. But if Jefferson can get back to, you know, where he was running the 4-3-9s, he could take over that Alameda Zacchaeus role on those deep crossers and so forth. And Hollins is more just a blocking wide receiver, the best I could tell. I could throw him a couple possession routes. But, you know, Jefferson will be a guy when you want to go 11 personnel and put three wide receivers out there, you can do it. They haven't been doing too much 11, but now they have the option once they can get him up to speed.
Would you like to see them with Patterson back in the mix now? Patterson, Bijan, obviously Algier. Would you like to see them throw to the running backs a little bit more than even what they do?
No, I think they overdid that early on, and people started jumping them checkdowns. maybe it's a little bit more up the field like what they did with Keith. But, people know that that's what we were hearing. They're like, hey, they just won the quick game, so we're going to sit on the flats on these running backs because we know he's going to check it down. Look, the first 3-4 games where he wouldn't throw the ball down the field at all. So I don't think you can overdo that right now. I think that was overdone early. Maybe you can get back to it later. More screens, more diversification of the screens. I know the Packers I covered back in the 90s, they had 33 different screens. It was to Edgar Bennett, most of them. So that was before Brett Favre knew how to read defenses. So, you can definitely load them up on the screen game and get the ball moving that way and then punch it down the field.
So let me ask you about the front seven with this team. You know, again, I see these stats and, D-Led, if you follow me at all on Twitter and ever read one of my tweets, I mean, I'm a big sack guy. I'll give you all the numbers in the world about teams that are really good, you know, defensively or are advancing way into the playoffs can always sack the quarterback. That's the one thing that teams can do. It's been 5 sacks in 5 games. What do you think about the play? And I know that they're top 10 in pressures and all this, but you got to get home. And this is a week where you got to get home at some point. What do you think the play has been from the front seven so far with this team?
Yeah, I'm with you, John. I've been digging down into my advanced defensive stats this week to get I got 11 of the I still got 21 more teams to go through to get all their knockdown and sacks together. But the Falcons are at 51, and over 50 is really good if you count the knockdowns and pressures. I started doing that when Coach Smith used to tell us, Coach Mike Smith, sacks are overrated. We want to get them off the spot. So I'm like, okay, I'm not buying that, but that's how, if you insist, we'll look at the hurries and the knockdowns too. So that's good, and the good thing is Grady, Jared and David Oyelamada or the Beast. They've got like eight knockdowns and a sack and some hurries. But up the middle is where they're getting the pressure. So the outside guys should be doing something. I'm kind of disappointed there, but Katie, haven't seen him show up at all. I've seen Bud Dupree flash. I don't know what they're doing with Lorenzo Carter, but there's nothing coming off the edge in the pass rush. They got a blitz. They blitzed 53 times, and I got to go back and double-check those numbers because they changed a little bit today. But and Caden Ellis has been sent 18 times, and he's only got one sack. So him and Richie Grant are coming on the blitzes. They're their blitzing guys. They were blitzing Troy Anderson a lot. He wasn't getting there. So if you're sending people, they got to get there. And, the outside guys haven't been doing too much in the pass rush other than Bud. But that's where I'm at on the pressure packages. They're getting it from the guys up the middle. That's what they wanted. But now they need a little bit more coming off of the edge here. And if they got to send the linebacker, do it. However you got to get it done, you got to get some people on the ground.
Well, I'm glad to hear, D-Led, that you agree more with me than you do with Mike Smith, even though I love Mike Smith. But I'm glad to hear that you are more in my camp with all of this. D. Orlando Ledbetter covers the Atlanta Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. He's on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC and join me here on the WaitFor.com hotline. D-Led, my friend, appreciate it, brother. We'll talk again here soon, and hopefully maybe this is a little bit easier week for the Falcons.
Yeah, we'll see. They're rested, and they got beat down 40-20, so they don't come in throwing some punches. So we'll see if the Falcons can stand up to them and put them away.
Thanks, D-Led. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you, John.
When we get back from the top of the hour, we'll talk to College Football News' Pete Futek, one of the best websites when talking about college football. All the information and knowledge and stuff Great website. So Pete Futek coming up next. Talk some college foosball with him. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.